In the news this month, a planet orbiting Proxima Centauri, tree rings and solar storms, and a tabletop black hole. This month, the scientists at the European Southern Observatory revealed the discovery of an exoplanet orbiting Proxima Centauri, the closest star to Earth other than the Sun. The newly discovered planet is the first one known in the Proxima Centauri system, has been named Proxima b, and is a mere 4.2 light-years, or 40 trillion kilometres, away from us here on Earth. In an article published in Nature, a team led by Dr. Guillaume Anglada Escudé of Queen Mary University in London described how the planet was initially detected and confirmed by the Pale Red Dot project. By making incredibly precise measurements of the motions of the host star with the HARPS spectrograph, the astronomers were able to see the star wobbling as the planet orbited. In star-planet systems, like any many-body system, all objects affect each other, meaning, as well as the massive star in the center, pulling on the outer planets and causing them to orbit, those planets too exert a pull back on the star. This means that rather than all orbiting the dead center of the central star, the bodies in the system, in fact, all orbit a common point known as the barycenter. In our own solar system, the complex gravitational interactions of the Sun with the eight planets means the barycenter follows a convoluted spiral pattern with a center which is sometimes inside the Sun, meaning it merely wobbles, and sometimes outside, meaning the Sun actually has its own very small orbit. By tracking the motions of Proxima Centauri, the Pale Red Dot team were able to measure the wobble of the star caused by the orbiting planet, which in turn allowed them to infer some of Proxima b's properties, including the mass and orbital radius. Proxima b has caused much excitement. Not only is it the closest exoplanet ever discovered, but it also has the possibility to be an Earth-like planet in its host star's habitable zone. Weighing in at between 1.3 and 3 Earth masses, Proxima b has the right mass range for a rocky planet, and also lives at a distance from its parent star, which means its planetary equilibrium temperature, the temperature it would have from only considering heating by the star, is a mild 234 Kelvin, compared to 255 for Earth. This is just minus 39 degrees centigrade, and means, with the correct atmospheric composition to give a greenhouse effect, the conditions may be right for liquid water on the surface. However, these are just possibles. Whilst we know the mass range, we do not know the composition of Proxima b, which could be either rocky like Earth, or gaseous like a miniature Neptune. And, in addition, anyone planning on making the trip to Proxima b may want to think twice. The star Proxima Centauri is not at all like our Sun, but is a red dwarf, a long-lived star which is much smaller and much cooler. This means that Proxima b is very close to the star, only 5% of the distance from the Earth to the Sun, and years on Proxima b last only 11 Earth days. Such a short orbital period means Proxima b is almost certainly tidally locked, with one side of the planet continually facing towards the star, and one away. And, even worse, Proxima Centauri is an extremely active, regularly flaring star, increasing in brightness by up to 50% several times per year. These flares give out huge amounts of X-rays, which could cause significant damage to any life, and indeed any atmosphere, on Proxima b. Even if chances for habitability may look small, Proxima b is still a great find, showing yet again the frequency and variety with which extrasolar planets occur. We may even be able to send a probe to Proxima b, with the Breakthrough Starshot project suggesting it is a destination for one of their tiny solar sail-powered craft, travelling at roughly 20% of the speed of light. One of these probes could reach and send signals back from Proxima b about 30 years after launch, with the current aim of a first mission in around 2036. This may seem long-term, even to astronomers used to decades-long projects, but is something which seems definitely worth waiting around for. Also in the news this month, the coinage of a new science was made in astrochronology, the use of evidence of solar storms visible in tree rings to date historical events. Humanity's previous best way of dating events over the past few millennia has been through radiocarbon dating. When organic matter dies, it ceases to absorb the carbon-14 isotope from the atmosphere. The carbon-14 then slowly decays, whilst the stable carbon-12 isotope does not, meaning the carbon-14 to carbon-12 ratio can be used to date the organism's death, and its subsequent use by humans as food, writing, or building material, and so on. Unfortunately, this radiocarbon dating is only so accurate, as the amounts of carbon-14 in the atmosphere vary both in time and regionally across the globe, meaning most dates are only good to a range of 1 to 200 years. This means that many historical records of ancient societies are not anchored to the Gregorian calendar used in the West today. The first confirmed absolute date in the European calendar is 763 BCE, in the Chinese calendar is 841 BCE, and in the Americas is only the arrival of Columbus in 1492. Civilizations with sophisticated calendars and record-keeping, such as Mayans, Assyrians, and Egyptians, existed long before these dates, but we do not know exactly when these chronologies fit relative to each other and to our own, floating around with error bars of up to a few centuries. In work by Oxford University archaeologist Michael W. Dee and astrophysicist Benjamin Pope, a radical new way of anchoring these timelines is proposed. The new sources of information come from Miyake events, first described in 2012, which are large, sudden increases in the amount of carbon-14 in the atmosphere, thought to be almost certainly from large energetic solar events such as solar flares. These Miyake events can be dated, as they are also visible in tree ring records, where the new annual growth of bark can be seen in the cross-section of a tree trunk. Given a successfully calibrated tree ring record, many of which exist, Miyake events can then be associated with a single year of occurrence, with two so far known in 775 and 994. Because Miyake events are short-lived and global, these spikes in carbon-14 can now be used to precisely date any organic matter used by societies in those years. Non-Miyake variations in carbon-14 are comparatively slow, meaning if large variations in the carbon ratios are observed across objects which are otherwise known to be around the same relative date, a precise absolute date can now be given, with Dee and Pope focusing on the use of a good mathematical tool, Gaussian processes, for detecting these sudden jumps in carbon-14. If previously floating chronologies can be anchored, then there is much to learn, with the data potentially helping us understand how ancient civilizations rose, fell, and interacted with one another. And finally, a scientist published results this month from a tabletop black hole. Rather than being a true black hole, an object so massive even light cannot escape its gravitational pull, instead, the model black hole consisted of a condensate of ultra-cold atoms with sound waves trapped inside. Goal was to model the emission of Hawking radiation from a black hole. According to Stephen Hawking's seminal work from the 1970s, the pairs of virtual particles which are constantly popping in and out of the vacuum of space are occasionally separated by the event horizon of a black hole. One particle falls in, never to return, and the other escapes, making the transition from virtual to real. By cooling rubidium atoms into a Bose-Einstein condensate in order to make their quantum behavior readily visible, physicist Jeff Steinhauer of the Technion Israel Institute of Technology in Haifa was able to trap quanta of sound known as phonons by creating entangled pairs of phonons and then accelerating the supercooled atoms. Steinhauer created an analogy to a black hole event horizon and confirmed, in principle, that it is possible for something which looks like Hawking radiation to exist. There are, of course, a few caveats to the work. It relies on the atoms being in a true Bose-Einstein state, and has so far only been able to generate entangled phonons at relatively high energies. And theorists may look askance at the usefulness of the imperfect analogy, Leonard Susskind of Stanford University in California pointing out that the system lacks a key feature of black hole systems which makes Hawking radiation such an important concept in physics. It will not evaporate. The evaporation of black holes and the question of what happens to the information from the pair particles lost inside them forms the basis of the black hole information paradox, the solution to which is regarded as a key component in any future theory which unifies gravity and general relativity. For now, though, the result remains an impressive technological feat and an excellent piece of incongruity, a black hole in a basement.